ALW Annalee Waters, best women's player in the world, and Catherine Parento breaking up the women's doubles team. So we saw this post on the pickleball forum. Please, Anna Bright, just say no. Don't become Annalee Waters' next lapdog victim. You are not a second fiddle. You are number one in my eyes, and I hope you stay true to yourself.
I guess it's this person's basically saying because Annalee's the best player in the world, she gets her choice of the litter. Yeah. But I don't think you can punish Annalee for that. If I'm Anna Bright and I get a call from Annalee, of course I'm going to play with her. You could say it was a good move because the gap is definitely closing. They were clearly the best women's team in the world. They're going to be pretty unbeatable for the foreseeable future. But I'm not surprised if that gap continues to close just because people keep getting better.
What's up, guys, and welcome back to the Pickleball Connection podcast. I'm Danae.
And I'm Barrett.
And we're stoked to be hanging out with you guys today. Today, we're going to bring up a couple hot topics in pickleball. So let's just jump right on into it.
Yeah, so our first topic today, as you guys know, the way that we structure these podcasts is we kind of scan pickleball forums on the internet. We see what the community's talking about. We talk about the latest pro stuff, rec stuff, and just all things pickleball. So this is something that I saw on a pickleball forum. There was a lot of engagement, and it's not just about pickleball, but it's really this massive thing that's going on in the world right now, tariffs. And so obviously this doesn't just affect pickleball, but it affects every business or most businesses, right? And so there's a lot of companies that are having to navigate supply chain issues. And so people were talking about it online, and this is what a post said. This guy said, we don't know what the future will bring, but if you're looking for a new paddle, now might be the time to purchase one. A large majority of pickleball paddles are manufactured in China. And once current inventories are depleted, prices will be subject to higher import tariffs if future import tariffs are in place. And then he said, please don't view this as a political post. It wasn't meant to be, but this is possibly the future, a future financial reality. People were going off in the comments, kind of talking back and forth. But I wanted to kick it over to you. Do you think this is going to be a big deal for paddle companies? And do you think that will in turn be a big deal for pickleball players and consumers of products?
Yeah, it's really interesting to think about because obviously we haven't seen something like this before. So it's not like we can draw on history to like tell us what it's going to look like. So it is a little bit of an unknown, but I do think it's interesting, right? Because the reality is, I don't know the exact percentage, but a good, I would probably say comfortably, the majority percentage of pickleball paddle companies are manufactured overseas.
Right. And then you have some companies that, you know, if their paddles are even assembled in the USA, they're still getting products, they're still getting materials.
Right. Still getting materials from overseas, right? Mm-hmm. So tariffs would obviously affect that. And you know what? I will say there are some companies that do manufacture in the US. It's just definitely very small, I would say, in percentage.
Right.
So I can imagine that if you're a pickleball paddle company that's been manufacturing in China, you're kind of sweating because you've probably been able to create margins with, you know, everything considered, and now your margin's taking a hit. In fact, I actually saw an Instagram post from Carbon. And they talked about how, you know, right now they're not going to you know, change their prices, but they talked about in their Instagram posts, like, hey, this is something that we're, that might be coming in the future.
Right.
So they're kind of warning their community, like, hey, you know, this is affecting us.
Right. And that's not, obviously we're not going to get into the political side, like if you agree or disagree with
right.
what Trump is doing, but that is part of this, you know, one side of the coin here is that tariffs could present to be somewhat inflationary, meaning products could, you know, that could come out on the consumer side, that products could go up in price. But do we know like how long they'll be up in price, or, you know, will it be a one-time kind of price increase? Mm-hmm. Like there's a lot of unknowns. And I think that not just in the pickleball world, but across markets right now, people, there's a lot of uncertainty. And so, yeah, it's just interesting to see like how will that affect, because pickleball is so, in a lot of ways, a lot of these paddle companies are so new, and a lot of their supply chains have like just gotten figured out, just gotten yeah. set up. And so I think that this actually hurts the smaller companies oh. more than the big companies, because when these companies don't have, you know, really in-depth relationships with manufacturers, or they don't have the ability or the infrastructure to pivot really quickly to a different, you know, manufacturer, that's going to create some issues. And I wonder, you know, with these companies that are smaller, that, you know, do 100% of their stuff in China, is this going to wipe some of them out? You know, because right. I think that margins for pickleball paddles, I think, are pretty good, wouldn't you say?
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, we've never made pickleball paddles before, but
the market's also super competitive because of all of the brands. So even just because a brand has good margins doesn't mean they're necessarily competitive. And so those brands that are just barely, you know, competitive, or just barely, you know, profitable, I think this is going to be an issue. And, you know, personally, I do think that there's just a lot of uncertainty. I think in the next 60 to 90 days, there'll be a lot more certainty. I think it's going to kind of get figured out. It's going to work itself out, but.
You know,
it's just interesting right now.
Yeah. You know what it makes me think too? Like if I were to just, obviously you and I are rec players, I would call us. We don't play pro. So, you know, obviously pro players, typically if they have a sponsor, they're not paying for paddles. So obviously this is going to kind of affect the rec industry a lot more, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's where your bulk of consumers is. And it kind of makes me think, like, you're going to want to buy a paddle that lasts long.
Right.
You're going to want to buy, like, if you go out and buy a paddle next, you should buy a durable paddle. Because there are, you know, these companies that create these paddles. We've talked about it before, that just core crush, they break down super quick. And, like, that's not going to be fun to deal with.
Right.
So, I don't know. It's just interesting to think, how does this affect the consumer? Like if you're going to be going through paddles a lot, you know, are you going to switch companies now? Or are you going to,
if you're going through paddles a lot, right? If you have to buy a new one every couple months, well, the prices could be different in a couple months, or inventory could be super low. Like,
yeah,
you have a lot of, you know, this doesn't just go for pickleball, but you have a lot of businesses around the world right now that are pre-buying just tons of inventory because they're trying, or they did right before, you know, tariffs went into place, and they're trying to get ahead of the tariffs. But again, we don't know how long the tariffs are going to last, and having too much inventory can create its own problems. So you're going to have companies with too much inventory, and you're going to have companies with
too little
inventory and not able to get more. And that's just going to be an interesting thing to navigate. So again, I think you bring up a great point, you know, something that's really bothered me. Obviously, I know that we work closely with Selkirk, and they've treated us really well. We really love the company. We love what they stand for. Something that bothers me is that, you know, they've kind of gotten this bad rap lately in terms of paddle technology, and this illusion that's kind of like that they're behind, and really they're not behind, right? It's just, there's a lot to navigate. Selkirk has the best warranties in pickleball. So yeah. How do you put a warranty for a year on something when technology now is designed to break. It's designed to core crush, like you mentioned, and it breaks over time. And how do you warranty that, right? If 3 or 4 weeks into hitting your paddle, it's starting to core crush. And Selkirk just has kind of held the line that they want to make paddles that are durable, high quality, and legal.
Yeah.
And checking those three boxes can be tough, but they've held their ground, and they're working on some really cool stuff. We've gotten to hit some of the new prototypes and stuff that I think are going to check all those boxes. It can be super powerful, but also super durable and in spec. So yeah, that's another issue. I think that's a whole nother topic, but I think are you going to see more people shift towards American made companies? Are you going to see more people shift towards, you know, durable products because of supply chain issues? You know,
Interesting. It's fascinating to think about.
So let me ask you this, like, obviously we're fortunate enough to get most of our products and stuff for free. So I know that 99% of people that listen to this are buying paddles, right? So if you had to pay for your paddles, because I know obviously you don't, which is a blessing, but if you had to pay for your paddles and you knew this news was coming, would you be like, I'm going to buy one now before prices go up?
Or yeah, would you... I totally would. Yeah. I think I would. Yeah. If I was, I mean, you know me, I'm like a budget person. I like really don't spend frivolously by any means. So I think if I knew there were going to be price increases on a product I loved, like on a paddle I really loved playing with, I would probably get another one right now.
Right. Right. So
would you?
I don't know. I think I maybe not as frivolous as you. Is
frivolous?
Is that the right word?
No, frivolous is like, oh, I'll just buy whatever.
Yeah, I guess I'm more frivolous. Yeah. Than you. That's what I meant. But yeah, I guess I'm not quite as frugal. Is that the right word? That's the word I was looking for.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it'd be interesting. Obviously, I'm not really sure. I think maybe I probably would hold off just because I don't know how it's going to affect prices. And I think paddles are already priced pretty high. So at what point does the company kind of price people out by raising tariffs, in the sense of like, would a company rather keep their prices and their margins be slim to none, or they rather raise their prices, price people out, and have their margins? I think a company wants to continue to sell even if margins go down, versus like sales going down, because then that's spreading the brand. I don't know. There's a lot of sides to it, but I probably would hold off. But I would understand why somebody would want to buy a paddle before all this madness kind of trickles into supply chain.
Yeah. It's interesting.
Yeah. But guys, let us know in the comments.
No political, but like, let us know what you think about the tariffs.
Yeah. Prices. You can be political in the comments. We might just not respond. I'm just kidding. But
don't be political.
But yeah, let us know in the comments, like, does this make you want to buy? And I'm really curious. You know, obviously, like I said, we're fortunate enough to get paddles mainly for free, but if you're, you know, paying for your paddles, does this concern you, or are you more concerned about other things in life and pickleball is just, you'll throw down whatever pickleball? Let us know. I'm actually curious, and it's going to be interesting to see how all this shakes out. Hey guys, real quick, I did just want to take a minute to mention Selkirk's newly released Court Strike and Court Strike Pro pickleball shoes. The reason I love these pickleball shoes so much is because they were specifically designed and engineered just for pickleball. Now, shoes I was kind of playing with in the past were made for tennis or other racket sports, or I even made the kind of amateur and rookie mistake for a while to play pickleball in tennis shoes, and honestly, that just didn't end well. So the fact that these shoes were so thoughtfully designed for pickleball was really comforting to me. Not only that, they're really comfortable out of the box, and they provide great lateral support for that lateral movement that we all need in pickleball. So if you're interested in getting yourself some of the new Court Strike or Court Strike Pro pickleball shoes, head over to selkirk.com and get your favorite color in your size today.
So if you watch pro pickleball, I guarantee you've definitely seen this news, and it's really about ALW Annalee Waters, best women's player in the world, and Catherine Parento, breaking up the women's doubles team. So we saw this post on the pickleball forum, and the post says, please, Anna Bright, just say no. Don't become Anna Lee Waters' next lapdog victim. You are not a second fiddle. You are number one in my eyes, and I hope you stay true to yourself. This person was talking about how basically Anna Lee Waters asked Anna Bright to be her partner, and Anna Bright said yes. So I have a couple questions for you about this. One, do you think that this was a good move for Anna Lee Waters? And two, do you think this was a good move for Anna Bright?
You know, it's interesting because you could say it was a good move because the gap is definitely closing. They were clearly the best women's team in the world. What is their record currently? It's like
I don't know,
100 and something wins to like 6 losses.
Yeah,
so
crazy.
It's like a 95% or more plus, you know, win percentage.
Yeah.
So I think it's like tough because it's like you clearly have had tons of success, but I think Anna Lee could sense the gap is closing, games are closer, and they were starting to lose, right?
Yeah.
They lost their last tournament together. Obviously they make the Championship Sunday, but they're kind of, when your record is 130-6, that could be way off, but it's like you're expected to win at that point. So I think that, you know, Anna Lee could really experience that. I think the other thing is that, you know, Anna Bright, I think, is still maybe ascending in the sense that she's a little younger than Catherine. And honestly, she's given Anna Lee some problems. Like the only one that's really been able to beat her and Ben, or her and Catherine, apart from, I guess, this last tournament, you know, you have Georgia and Tyra that are really ascending. But Anna Bright's kind of been a Ben Johnson and Anna Lee Waters killer, right?
Yeah.
So I think in the same way, I don't know if you remember this, but, you know, one of the reasons I heard that Ben is playing with Gabe, obviously I think Ben's going to keep playing with different partners and kind of see what fits. But I think I heard one of the reasons he's playing with Gabe is obviously he's a phenomenal player, but he hates playing against Gabe.
Yeah.
And so he's like, I'd rather play with him than play against him. And so I wonder if some of that's true, where Anna Lee's like, I'd rather not play against her. I'd rather play with her. This person in this post that you read said, basically, like, pleading Anna Bright not to team up with Anna Lee, and basically saying, like, you're number one in my eyes. Like, do you think Anna Bright is number one?
No.
I don't either. I don't either.
I don't.
She's good, but I don't think she's number... I wouldn't even... Like, here's the thing. I'm not a women's doubles player. So maybe you could put yourself in their shoes. I know you've never played against Anna Lee or any of these female pros, but just from the outside looking in, like, Anna Bright isn't the most scary partner. Mm-mm. Does that make sense? Like, yeah. I think they probably have. I've even thought before this happened, like, I wonder how dominant AB and ALW would be. You know, yeah. I've thought about that, but like, not the most scary partner. Like, obviously, like, Hurricane Tyra Black's ascending. Georgia Johnson is ascending.
Yeah.
And like, having Tyra play like the left and Anna Lee play the right, like, to me, that's a little scarier, like, to face.
Yeah.
I don't know. I do think consistency wise and results wise, I think they're going to be pretty unbeatable for the foreseeable future. But I'm not surprised if that gap continues to close just because people keep getting better.
Yeah. Do you think that this was a good move for Anna Bright to leave Rachel and be Anna Lee Waters' partner? And touch on this, because this person said, don't be Anna Lee Waters' lapdog.
Yeah, I guess this person's basically saying, because Anna Lee's the best player in the world, she gets her choice of the litter. Yeah. But I don't think you can punish Anna Lee for that. Like, I think for me, if I'm Anna Bright and I get a call from Anna Lee, of course I'm going to play with her. Like, it's the same thing with, like, if Ben Johns calls
Gabe. Yeah.
And or Ben Johns calls somebody and like,
because Gabe and JW were supposed to play this year.
Right. You know, like
if, that would have been a crazy team.
If Ben Johns calls you and you have a lifelong partner, like you're probably going to leave the lifelong partner. Yeah. Like they're just the best players and you want a chance to play with the best player. You want a chance to win golds because ultimately you're making more money when you win more golds. Like there's a financial incentive, but also like you just want to be the top team. Right. Yep. And I'm sure Anna Bright, yeah, has taken Anna Lee down some, but Anna Lee's probably gotten her like 9 out of every 10 times or right. 8 out of every 10 times. I'm sure Anna Bright's like tired of losing to Anna Lee too. So yeah. Just like everybody.
Yeah.
So I think that Anna Lee is still clearly the best women's player. I think there is Anna Lee. And then I think there's a drop off before the next tier, even of women's players.
All right. I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
Who do you think is going to be like the leader of that team, Anna Lee Waters and Anna Bright?
I mean, it's got to be Anna Lee, but I think if I'm them, they're going to play straight up just like her and Catherine did. We saw Anna do that with Rachel a lot. I think obviously Anna Lee loves to play the backhand or backhand in the middle. So I think they're going to be very fiery. And I think ultimately they're going to lean on like Anna Lee and Lee Waters' game plan probably.
Yeah.
But I think they're going to play straight up. And I think that fares very well on the women's side to be able to play straight up.
I think so too.
But yeah. I would say just because I think they're going to have success out of the gates, I think they're going to do really well. I still think the gap is closing.
Me too.
Right?
Me too. Yeah, I think it's interesting to think about. I think something that Anna Bright, you said, you know, she's not the number one women's player.
And I mean, she's top three.
She's top three for sure. And I would agree. But I will say something that Anna Bright has proved over and over and over again is I think whoever she's paired with, she does a really good job leading. She's a very good leader. So I wonder what that's going to be like for her taking a not leadership role in women's doubles.
I see what you mean. Like a lot of her partners, she's kind of taken under her wing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And she's like actually had such incredible success, which I think is such an ode to her of like being able to play with a multitude of partners and really carry people deep into draws.
And it's worth noting, it's worth remembering, like they've partnered together before. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it wasn't too long ago, maybe a year and a half ago. I can't remember exactly. I could be a little off, but probably a year and a half ago, Anna Lee was playing with both Anna Bright and Catherine. Mm-hmm. And then she kind of chose Catherine over Anna Bright. But it's not like she was only having success with Catherine. Like she was having success with Anna Bright and she was having success with Catherine.
Yeah.
So she's had success with her before. And that's probably another reason why she was the first call Anna Lee made.
Yeah.
I think it'll be interesting to see what, like, do we see Rachel and Catherine team up? And then, like, are they going to face their old partners?
I know. That'd be championship drama.
But again, I do think I would not be shocked if, like, because right now I think Anna Lee is the best women's player in the world.
By a margin.
I think a lot of people would say Anna Bright's number two.
Would you? I'm going to put you on the spot.
I would say it's a close to 2, 3, 4 are all very close.
Who's 2, 3, and 4 just for fun here?
I mean, I would probably say, I'd say right now, 2, 3, 4, and 5 are very close. And it's Anna Lee. And then the next tier is Anna Bright, Hurricane Tyra Black, Georgia Johnson, and Catherine Parenteau. I think that's the next tier.
Yeah.
And then honorable mention, maybe starting the next tier, Paris Tox is ascending a lot on the women's side. But I think those four are clearly
the dangerous.
If you look at Georgia's medaled a lot this year, Tyra's medaled a lot this year. And what I'm saying is I still would probably, if I had to pick the second best player in the world, I'd probably say, or female player in the world, I'd probably say Anna Bright. Especially because I think she's good on the mixed and the women's side. I think Tyra and Tyra. I mean, obviously George is good when she plays with her brother, but Georgia paired up with Hayden Patrickman earlier this year and they did decent. They did, they made it to the quarters, I think. So I think Anna Bright's better all around in mixed and in women's. I would probably say she's number two, but what I'm saying is I would not be surprised. Like if by the end of the year, there's someone that's surpassed her at number two. And so the real question is, does Anna Lee call them?
Yeah.
You know, but we'll see. I think it's exciting. Cause I think that, I mean, maybe Anna Lee was feeling the pressure. Like she was feeling the gap close.
Yeah. I wonder too, like obviously Anna Bright and Catherine Parento have very different play styles. So I do wonder if like right off the bat, they're going to really be able to click and make it work, or if there's going to be like a little bit more of a learning curve. I'm curious, but I guess we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. I think they're going to be pretty hot team, you know, pretty right out of the gates. I think they're going to be very good. I think the gaps are closing because I think players across the women's side and the men's side, there's just a lot of ascending talent. We're going to see new names.
I know.
We've never seen before.
We're already seeing new names.
Yeah.
It's exciting. Cool.
Yeah, well, that's all I've got.
That's all I've got. Would love to hear your guys' thoughts on the new partnership, ALW and Anna Bright playing together. If you guys think that they're going to continue to dominate, let us know. Or if you think that she should have picked somebody else, I'm curious. Drop that in the comments below.
And guys, do please drop us a like, subscribe, and leave us a review. It really does help this podcast grow. As well as if you have any ideas or subjects for future podcasts or questions that you'd like us to answer, please also leave those in the comments below. And we will see you on the next one.